Okay, we're starting here at the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with the sugya that I dealt with yesterday, which was the fact that what is called the Rosh Arum. So the last opinion about what a Rosh Arum was, Ulamar Zishikar Vishana, Velo Shimesh Tamid Chachamim. This is someone who learnt Torah, learnt Mishnah, was not Mishamesh Tamid Chachamim. And Rashi says that he's a Rosh Arum because one Rosh Shein Tarato Al Borya. First of all, his Torah is not clear and is not worthy of being learned from him because he doesn't have a clear understanding of what he is teaching or what he's learning. And number two, he's a room. Why does Rashi say he's a room? Someone who hurts him chazering over his learning thinks that this person is a baki in Torah, and therefore they will approach him to learn from him or get psak halacha and give him kavod like a tamu chachom. But in the end, that's not what he is because he's missing that key aspect of shimush. Now the Gemara continues that Itmar Kara Vishana Velo Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim. Someone who learned Torah, learned Mishnayos, was not Mishamesh Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Lazar Omer is an Amma Aretz. This person is like an Amma Aretz. What does it mean an Amma Aretz? Rashi says an Amma Aretz is that he's Chashud Ala Maestrot Vala Tarot. Meaning that his learning is superficial, and because he doesn't understand his learning and he's not Mishamesh Talmidei Chachamim, therefore he does not apply that which he has learned. And therefore, he's choshed al tarot and on the maestros. Shmuel Nachmani Amar is zibur. It's even lower than an amma aretz. Not only not believed in areas of maestros and tarot, but he says that he's missing basic social understanding and social interaction understanding. Shmuel Nachmani Rabbi Yana Amar is a kuti. Rabbi Yana says even more that he's a kuti. What does that mean? He's a kuti. So Rashi says. He doesn't listen to what the Chacham say at all. The Da'atam, the Lashana, the Haruk, that smoke a Talmid Chacham. The only reason he learned was to make himself look good, to look like a Talmid Chacham, but he does not have any real sense of what's supposed to be done, and therefore we can't trust him in any way. He is a sorcerer. So what does that mean? What does it mean he's a sorcerer? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Mistab like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. It makes sense like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Damar Inche. Ratin imigusha v'loda my amar tani tana v'loda my amar. So what do we have? We have a sorcerer. A sorcerer whispers or says over the spells or the ideas that he has in order to create his sorcery. But he says them. He has a prescribed saying to say, but he does not know how it works or how it functions. So he just utters whatever it is that he's supposed to say, and then whatever sorcery happens, but he doesn't understand how it functions or how it works. So too, this person who learns and did not mishamish tamid chacham tani tano, he says over, he can say over the mishnayos, he can read over all that he's learned, b'leidah mayamar, but he doesn't understand it. He's unable to explain it. He's unable to bring meaning and understanding to that which he is saying. He's like a computer in the sense that he can repeat or spit out that which he has, but he can't make any sense out of what that which he has. So again, Rashi pointed out in this part of the sugya, but it's going to be a theme throughout the rest of the daf today until we reach the Mishnah on the second half of the daf. That all these people, all these instances, are people who are making an appearance of being something or being someone. I mean, that they want to be treated with a certain amount of respect, or they want to have a certain amount of stature or status, but they really should not, are not deserving of it because they're either doing it to cover up their illicit behavior or their poor behavior, or they're doing it only to gain that status without actually acting in a manner that reflects the status that they have. So now we continue in the Gemara. Torah Rabbeinu Ezehu Amma Aretz. What is an Amma Aretz? So that's what Rashi says, what does it mean, what's an Amaret? I mean, there's a special term. An Amaret means, what does that mean? So Rashi says, Nechad al Taros vel Maestros. Muchzak magot tamet. That's someone who can't be trusted when it comes to Taros, Maestros, or whenever he comes into contact with him, we assume that he's Tamei, and therefore one would be Tamei. Tosfos points out here that there are numerous types of Amaret that we find throughout Shas. If an Amaret does not believe for Edus. If an Amaret, like Rashi says, does not believe in Taharos and Maestros. If an Amaret does not believe in Shviz. So there are all different types of Amei Ha'aret who are not trusted in certain categories. And the question that Gemara is asking in these different places, and here included, is when we're talking about an Amaret, what is the definition within this category, or this status of Amaret, what's the qualification to be considered Amaret? So the first opinion is, Kosh Eino, Rabbi Meir says, Kosh Eino Kore Kriyashma Shachar Barbit Bibir Chotah. Anybody who doesn't read Kriyat Shema in the morning and the evening with its brachot, that is considered Amaret. That's the Divrei Rabbi Meir. Because he's missing such a basic, fundamental part of daily Judaism that it's clear that he's not makpid on these other items. Someone who does not put on tefillin each day. someone who does not have tzitzit on his four-cornered beged. And Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef Amar Kol Sheish Lo Banim Vein Magadlan L'Dmo Torah. Anyone who has children and does not ensure that they are brought up in a Torah framework. Achayrim Omrim, and this is what connects back to our Gemara. Achayrim Omrim Afilu Korev V'Shoneh V'Lo Shimesh Tamid Chachamim. Even someone who learned Torah and Mishnayot but was not Mishnayot Tamid Chachamim, they are considered Zeu Amaret. That is classified as an Amaret. Kara V'Lo Shana, one who learned Mikra and did not learn Mishnah, is a Bur. This is Bur, as opposed to the opinion above, who said a Bur was even someone who was Kara V'Shana and was not Mishnayot Tamid Chachamim. Here, the Baraita says that it's only what the Achayim say, that only when he doesn't learn Mishnah, if he's only learned Mikra not Mishnah, then he's considered a boor. Lo kara velo shana, if he did neither of those, alava katuv omer zarati et beit Yisrael beit Yudah zera adam zera behema. It's a famous parak in Yirmiyahu there that a lot of the songs come from. So this parak in Yirmiyahu, it says there that Hashem will renew Klal Yisrael, and over there it says part of the renewal was zarati et beit Yisrael beit Yudah zera adam zera behema. So they will be renewed in many different forms. The Gemara here is darshaning. What does it mean? It will be Zera Adam, this Zera Behema. That there actually be two classifications. There are people and Behemoth. But those, when it says people and Behemoth, it refers to people in both senses. That there will be Zera Adam and Zera Behema. That there will be people who are not considered to be Adam because of their status, because of how they conduct themselves. And that's what we're talking about over here, that Ezuam Aret is someone who is does not karav alo shana. He's not even a mar, it's not a boor, but he's a zera behema. So now the Gemara continues, quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, Yirach et Hashem b'ni v'melech. Right, you should fear Hashem, my son, and you'll be on top. V'im shonim atitarav. Actually, the pasuk does not have the vav in it, but it says im shonim atitarav. With the shonim, don't get mixed up. So what does it mean, don't get mixed up with the shonim? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Elisha shonim halachot. These are people who learn halachot. Wait, if they're learning halachot, why shouldn't you get mixed up with them? So Rashi points out, shonim halachot are the people who learn mishnayot. I mean, this is the same as what we saw above of kara v'shana. People learn mikra mishnah, but did not mishameish tamid chachamim. That's what it means, alti darav. But the shonim, those are the people who just go over their learning over and over again, but do not have any substance to their learning because they were not makbid al tamei mishmanayot, and they were not mishameish tamid chachamim. They just learned that which the text says. She said, of course, that's what it's referring to. Ma'adatema, no. I would have thought, what does the shonim here mean? Shonim b'cheit. Look at the ravuna. Stay away from these people who recurringly commit a certain cheit. Kedra ravuna, dam ravuna, kemi shabar adam avira b'shanaba. Person, once he's over an avira and repeats it, hutralo, it becomes like a heter to him. So, kamash malan, that the shonim referring to in the pasuk is not about these people who recurringly violate a certain cheit. But rather, it's referring to the shonim, those that learned the karav shana v'lo shimeish tamid chachamim. Tana hatenaim mavlei olam. We learned in a braisa that tanaim are mavlei olam. Mar says mavlei olam. What do you mean? Why are tanaim destroyers of the world? Amarivina shemorim halacha mitoch mishnatam. Not that the people who review their text, meaning that they go over the mishnayot, but people who are more halacha from their learning in the mishnayot. Because they only know that which is written in the text. They were never mishamish talmid chachamim, and they don't have the ability or the vehicle or tools to do the havanah mitoch mishnayot to give halakha. If they're more halakha mitoch mishnatam, then they're mavlei olam, they destroy the world, because they're going to come to the wrong conclusions and give the wrong tzak. Are they really destroyers of the world? Aren't they the ones who settle the world? Shenemar. So this is from Chavakuk, it says, halichot olam lo, and we dash and we say this, right, on Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, we say it every day, that halich olam atikra halichot el hafalot. Kol ha-shameh halachot b'chayom muftak shalom, but naftak lo shu ben olam haba. Someone who reviews their learning each day, they're muftak shalom haba. So how could you say that shona halachot is someone who's mavlei olam? Ela shemarim halachum itoch mishtantam. These aren't the people who just review their learning. These are people who review their learning and then they give tzak halacha out of that learning, without having the proper shimush tamne chachamim to understand properly the mishnayot, the svarot of the mishnayot, understand how the shoshelot halacha works or the mesorah works in order to take up sak halacha from that which they learned. Right now, the Mishnah continues. The Gemara continues with the Mishnah. We said before, Rabbi Lezer mentioned a number of people that are mavlei olam, which we have spoken about so far. There was a chassid shoteh, then we had a rasha arum, and now we're up to isha prusha. What is an isha prusha? Tanu rabbanan ptulat slainit ve'amanah shovivit. So a betula tlanit, Rashi actually calls it a tlanit, right? So this is a woman, a betula, that's a balat tifla, a woman who goes after impropriety, right? But pretends to be a betula and acts in a manner of a betula, but yet she does other things under the covers or under the cover of her being a betula, she does other things. Valmanash shuvvit, right? So today the modern Hebrew word shuvviva is mischievous, but here Rashi says shuvvit, that she moves around a lot, that she frequents her neighbors and is all over the place, is out and among the people instead of being at home. Hariyel mavlei olam. Why are they mavlei olam? Shenam elo no afot umach shefot. They are adulterers and sorcerers. Umarat etzmam ki tzidkaniyot, but they make an appearance of being tzidkaniyot. So they do a chular for him, so people won't check up on them to see what their true character is. Now, katan shlo kalu chadashav, the Gemara will come back to and discuss this. Ini, the Gemara challenges this and says this is really true of betulot and amanot. We have examples, Rabbi Yochanan says, from a betulah where we can learn how to properly act in yirat chet, and from an almanah how to properly view schar mitzvot. Yirat chet mitzvot, Rabbi Yochanan sham alahai betulah. He heard of this betulah, the nafla apa, she fell on her face, the kamran, she was davening, ribono shalom, barata gan eden, barata geinom. You created Gan Eden and Gan Hanim, Barata Tzadikim, Barata Rishayim. You created Tzadikim and Rishayim. He ratzom elefanecha, shlo yikashlu bi b'nei adam. That no one should trip up on me. That means I should not be the cause for anyone to be a Rasha or to go to Gehinom. That only positive things should come out from me. So this is Yirat Chet. The proper stance or the way a person should view Chet is to want to not be involved in Chet at all. Not only for themselves, but not even to cause others to be trip up in Chet. Kibbutzkar mi almana. What do we learn about kibbutzkar? From an almana. Dahi almana. Dabi be knishta b'shivuta. She had a shul in her neighborhood, in her local area. Koymar and her chutzir. Koyoma hava achu matzal be medrash shod Rabbi Yochanan. Nevertheless, she still traveled out to the base medrash of Rabbi Yochanan to daven. Amala biti lo beit knesset b'shivutech. Don't you have a beit knesset in your local area, your neighborhood? Why are you coming up to me? So amale rabbi halos skarpsiot leishli. Don't I get extra credit for making the walk out to you? So I wanted to daven by you, Rabbi Yochanan, but not only is even though there's a shul in my neighborhood, I still want to come because in addition to the schar tefillah, I also get the schar psiot. And this is that the minhag Yisrael, that nobody davens in the shul that's next to them. They always have to pass one shul to go to the other shul so they can get the schar psiot, that they can get the schar of walking to the shul in addition to the schar of limud. So where it says, no, let's qualify that statement. What am I talking about that the negative of view towards the Tulan Amana is Gagon Yochanai Bat Ritivi. Like Yochanan Bat Ritivi. Who's this Yochani Bat Ritivi? Who's this woman? So Rashi tells the story that this was an Amana Mechashefa. She was a widow that was a sorcerer. And then she used to practice her sorcery like this. She would, any woman was giving birth, she would actually cast a spell on the woman so she was unable to complete the birthing process and she'd be in tremendous pain. Then this woman would show up and say, then listen, I'll daven for you, and when I daven for you, the baby will come out. So she used to daven, and then she should dispel the spell. She would take off the spell from the woman, and the baby would come out. So she was admire herself like a tzidkanit, that she looked like she was a righteous woman, that her tefillah for helping the woman give birth. But in the meantime, under the covers, or what she was really doing, was creating these sorcery in order to project herself to be a tzidkanit. So Rashi says that later on they figured this out. Some woman discovered her sorcery, and they were unveiled or revealed this whole charlatanry that she was presenting. This whole image that she was presenting was false. So that's the type of almana or betula we don't want. And that's what a isha prusha. Isha prusha is someone who projects herself as being a woman of stature or a certain amount of prishut. Yet under that pretext of being parush, she does acts in an inappropriate manner, does inappropriate things. Now the Gemara goes back. What is kalul lo chashav? Right. So what is this kalul katan shelo? My katan shelo kalul lo chadashav. Hakatagaminu zet tamal chacham hamivait birabuta. This is the tamal chacham who literally kicks away his rebbeim. What does that mean? He kicks away his rebbeim. Right. He's called a katan shelo chadashav because he loses. Rashi says why is he called a kalul lo chadashav? Because his days will be cut off, and because he treats his rebbeim without respect, then he will live a shorter life, and that's why Shalom Kalul Chadasha also can fit into the context of what we're speaking about till now, which is that Kara B'Shana, someone who learned to read Mikra and Mishnah and was not Mishamish Tamil Chachamim properly. Someone who's Mivait B'Rabutav will never do the Shimush Tamil Chachamim properly. And therefore, Katan Shalom Kalul Chadasha means that he is an unripened product. because he never completed the process of being Meshamish Talmid Chachamim and learning appropriately tachat his Rabotav. And his loss of respect for his Rebbeim, or his treating his Rebbeim without respect, now also damages his ability to grow in Torah. And that'll be a Katan Shel Kol Chazal. Rabbi Abba Amar Zitamish Lagia Laho Ra'ah Umoreh. This is someone, a Talmid Chacham, who has not reached the level where he can appropriately give Horah, give Psak Halacha. Nevertheless, he gives Psak Halacha without being appropriately ready. So the pasuk there is talking about a woman that she in her wake she leaves many corpses, and those that were felled by her are many. So what is that? What does that mean that they pile up the corpses? That he not go with corpses? And some of the Talmud Chacham gives psak alacha when he is not ra'oi l'psak, because then he's going to cause tremendous amount of damage. But sumim kolugah, there's also, what does that mean that there are tremendous, those that are felled are tremendous. Zetamachom shegil harav eino moreh. This is someone who reached the level of hora and does not give psak halacha. Rashi says over here, what's a sumim lashon otsum einav? He closes his eyes. Even though he has the ability and he has the tools in which to give psak halacha, and he still withholds from giving psak halacha, he closes his eyes and doesn't do it. That person also is a destroyer, right, as a killer, because he allows others who don't have those tools to go ahead and do it, or he's not giving of himself that which he has. So both someone who gives psak halacha when they're not ready, or someone who doesn't give psak halacha when they can, both of these we are viewed negatively. And that's what Talmid lo kalu chadashav means, a non-ripened Talmid who goes ahead and gives psak halacha before he is ready. Now the Gemara asks on the next top of the next amud, Bad Kamal, how long is it till you are ready to give psak halacha? Ad 40 shnin, until 40 years. What does it mean, 40 years? Till you're 40 years old? Tosafot says, no, until you're 40 years of learning. Why is that? Because where do we learn it from? We learn it from the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, which he says to Klal Yisrael at the end of his life, he says, on that day, lo tam lachem Hashem lev ladat ad yom hazeh, that Hashem didn't give me the ability to understand my teaching until this day. Moshe is standing 40 years after Matan Torah, and he says, finally, B'nai Yisrael understand his teaching. So we see that mora lochlor, the ability to understand what the Rebbe is saying, only takes 40 years from the time you start learning, not when you are 40 years old. Mar says, Nini, is that really true? But how Rabba Uri? What about Rabba? Rabba, right, only lived for 40 years, and yet he gave psak halacha before he passed away. So the Gemara answers, wait a minute, that's bishoven. What does that mean, bishoven? So Rashi says, bishoven, if you are equal to the gadol hador, not gadol hador, but gadol ha'ir, if you are on the same level as the Godayir, then you're entitled to give psak halacha, because you've reached that. Meaning that, I think what Rashi is saying is that there are 40 years is a quantitative measure of how long it takes for a Talmud to get to the bottom, what his Rav says. But we know that there are other people who qualitatively can make up that time of 40 years in a shorter amount of time, because they reach those levels faster. So over here too, Rav will, if he was shoving, he was the equivalent to the Talmud Chacham Meir, then he was already right to give psak halacha. Tosfos actually brings down two opinions about what Shavin is. He says, the Ri says like Rashi, but the Ri says like Rashi like this, if you are in a, come to a city, and there's already a posek that's kavua in that city, then what? Then you can't give psak halacha, even if you're on the same level as that posek, because you're already outsider, and he already has established his psak halacha, we don't need you. But if you are kavua ba'ir, meaning that if you live in this city, and you're always present in this city, and the other Talmud Chacham is in the city, and Shavin, and you're equal, then both of you can give psak halacha. Then you also can give psak halacha, like Rashi says. There's a previous opinion that also says that shavin is when you can't give psak halacha. When you're equal to the Talmud Chacham or the Gadol Shebe'ir, then you can't give halacha. But only when you're above, when you are greater than the Talmud Chacham Shebe'ir or the Posek Shebe'ir, then you can give hora'ah. So, but either way, we see that there is a quantitative measure of how long it takes for someone to reach a mora'ah. There also seems to be that there's a qualitative, meaning that makom she'ish yistalu le'ish. But obviously you have to be comparing yourself to someone that is worthy. I mean, that just because you're the greatest learner in the city doesn't make you a posek all of a sudden. It has to be that you're comparing yourself to someone else who's of a stature of a posek, and if you're as great as him or greater than him, then you should also be entitled qualitatively to give psak at that point in time. Now, Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara is going to continue again with this thought process, right? Talking about makot prushim. That was the next item in the Mishnah. And the Gemara later on will discuss or hint at what makot prushim is. Now, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, shiva prushim him. There's seven people who act in a manner of parush, meaning they act in a manner that seems like they are humble and separated, and they're acting in a holy manner, yet they are not. And that's the way Rashi says it. Tosfos here brings the Yerushalmi down, then interprets it in a more positive manner, but our Gemara is clearly in a negative manner, in a negative form. Now, I just point out Tosfos here, it's not like Tosfos the rest of the Shas. Tosfos here extensively quotes the Yerushalmi, and number two, he always quotes his Rebbe. So the authors of the Tosfos and Sota are probably much later Tosfot, and they are also different in their style than some of the other Tosfot, because here they quote the Yerushalmi extensively. Right, the Darabon and Shiva Purushim hey, Parush Shichmi, Parush Nixvi, Parush Kizai, Parush Meduchia, Parush Machavoti, Esena, Parush Me'ava, Parush Mira. Now they're going to explain each one of these. Parush Shichmi, what is that? Zelo Semasa Shchem. These are the ones who does in actions like Shchem. What does it mean that does actions like Shchem? Shchem, the city of Shchem, got that Brit Milah, not because they believed that they wanted or needed a Brit Milah, but in order to take advantage of Yaakov and his family. So they acted in a way that was not Tocham Kiboram. They did whatever they had to get what they wanted, but they weren't doing it the shame Shemaim. Parush Nikvi, what is this? Zeh Amenakif et Raglav. This is someone who walks in a manner, right, that looks like he's a Shafel or Anav. What does that mean, Nakif Raglav? Alech B'Shifut Ekev, he walks with a lowered heel. Bitzad Godel, he walks with slow steps. Right, he doesn't lift his feet up. He like shuffles his feet along the ground, and therefore he bumps his toes on the ground. He bumps his feet on the ground. So what? He's trying to project an image of being a shuffle and an anub by the way he walks. But truthfully, he's not. Underlying that, he has poor behavior, or he's trying to cover up for his poor behavior. This is someone who bumps into walls and becomes bloodied by bumping into walls. Why is he bumping into walls? So Osatmo goes to Menab. He likes to believe like he's closing his eyes, so he's stuck on the shim, because he doesn't want to see women. So he doesn't want to see women, he's unable to see where he goes, and then he ends up bumping into walls because of this. Right? Again, he is projecting an image of being humble, of being a Chared al Dvar Hashem, by not wanting to look at women, but it's just an image again. It's not really what he does or how he feels. He's using it as a cover to act inappropriately or to gain respect from others, even though he's not deserving it. Parosh Miduchya, what's Parosh Miduchya? I'm Rav Shila, the Meshapeh Kimiduchya. He bends himself over like a duchya, like a buchna, like a pestle and mortar that has it bent over. The buchna is bent over. So too, he walks around with his head bent or his body bent to show that he's in another shafel. Again, projecting an image that's not true. So all these seem very similar. I don't know what the exact distinction is between them, but all of them, again, have a common theme, which is here, the person who is trying to either project an image to cover up his bad deeds, or project an image to get kavod, even though he's not deserving of that kavod. Parush, machovati ve'esenu. Parush, tell me what my obligations are and I'll do them. Mar says, hama yusei, that's wonderful. Someone asks what I have to do, and then he does it. That's terrific. Odamar, machovati tu ve'esenu. Not what does machovati mean, that what are my obligations, but either, what more do I have to do, and I will do it. So in that, makes it sound like it's a burden to him, but he just wants to know what he needs to do to look good. So the Abbasiyah, too, tell me what else I need to do, and then I'll look good, or I'll be, you know, qualified as being a tzaddik. So tell me what I have to do. So he's trying to gain the image by just doing the minimum amount that he has to do, but not really feeling or experiencing that which he is doing. Now, the last two in the Mishnah are Parush Mi'ava and Parush Mi'ira. What's Parush Mi'ava? Rashi says that he does it Mi'avat HaTzchar. He does it for the reward of the mitzvot. Parush Mi'ira is from Irat HaOnesh. So both of these are doing mitzvot shlo lishma. So Bayrov says, leave out Parash Mi'ira Mi'ava from the Braisa or from the Mishnah. Why? Because Damar Yud Amar Rav, Lomom Yasok Adam B'Torah B'Mitzvot Shafilu Shalol Lishma, Shmitok Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma. They should always do mitzvot. Even when you do them Shalol Lishma, you should do them because when you go Lol Lishma, they come to be Lishma. So we don't view negatively Parash Mi'ava, Parash Mi'ira, even though that's not the optimal way we want you to do mitzvot to learn Torah. Nevertheless, we accept that way because that's a vehicle or a stepping stone that can reach Lishma. So Tosfos over here asks, and Tosfos throughout Shas asks this question. We had this Gemara in Nazir, and we saw the Tosfos there as well. Then we have other Gemaras, like the Gemara in Tanis, which says, Kol Osek B'Torah Shlo Lishma, Natsilo Sama Mavet. Whoever does Osek B'Torah Shlo Lishma becomes like a poison to him. And we also have in Brachos, Kol Osek B'Torah Shlo Lishma, Noach Lo Shlo Nibra. It's apparent that he was never created. So we see that the Gemara has very negative views towards people who ask Shlo Lishma. So one possibility is that you separate the Torah and Mitzvot. Problem is that the Girsan Ar Gemara here and in Nazir has Torah and Mitzvot, and the Gemara in Tanis and Brachos have just Torah. So if the Girsan will be here or in Nazir was just Mitzvot, then you could separate and say Torah Shlo Lishma does not work, but Mitzvot Shlo Lishma do work. But most of the post team have a girsah of Torah mitzvot in both locations here in Nazir, and therefore how do we reconcile them? So Tosfos in other places in Shas reconciles it saying that that's limud lekanter, that when someone learns or does mitzvot or learns about mitzvot in order to cause problems for others, or in order to be able to upslug others and to destroy their svaros, and just to be a negative person, that lishma we don't want. Lo lishma that we're talking about here, that may come to lishma when a person does something for the wrong motive, but in the end they might grow to get to the right motives. That's what Tosfos asks in other places, answers in other places in Shas. Over here, Tosfos gives a different answer. Of lehaish lo lishma the tanya from second row, eno seik b'torah zedelim lo mi'ava lo mi'ra lo sip al chatato pesha. That what we're talking about, the Gemara Brachot and in Tanit that are negative on Shlo Lishma, that's talking about someone who learned, not because of the reward, not because they fear the onus, but they just learn for the intellectual understanding of it. They just want to, they know it, and it doesn't change their behavior at all. I mean, that they don't act any different. So therefore, now they have the knowledge, and when they do the Aveira now, it's even worse, because they know what's wrong, and they continue to do what's wrong. Right? Right, that he doesn't stop doing what he's doing even after his learning. As opposed to here, when he does a mi'avo mi'ira, even though the motives might be slightly off or ulterior motives, nevertheless, when he learns something, he actually carries it out. He practices that which he learned. And from that lo lishma, you can come to lishma. I always quote here the famous Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin, in his Ruach HaChaim, his commentary on Pirkei Avot, talks about the idea of lo lishma. He says many people say that they don't want to daven, they don't want to do a mitzvah until they get the proper kavanah. So he says they'll be waiting their whole lives to do with the proper kavanah. He says that it's more important to daven each day and to learn each day, because if you are learning lo lishma or if you're davening lo lishma, there's a possibility it might come lishma. You might have some spiritual awakening and have it and be able to do it and do it lishma and it'll come out properly. But if you aren't doing it at all, there's no chance that it could come lishma. Because if you're always waiting around for lishma, you'll never feel, you'll never get to the right point, and then it'll never work out. So it's important, this is good educationally, it's important for children, important for adults when teaching, and to Torah and mitzvot, that we always encourage practice, because even though the practice might be the optimal practice that we have, but once we have the practice, there's the ability to improve on that practice, and the ability to get to the right kavanot in the practice. But if one does not practice at all, then there's no chance that they can ever come to the proper kavanot. All right, now we continue. Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the mitamra, mitamra, or the megalia, megalia. That which is hidden, right, is hidden. Nobody can figure it out. That which is out in the open, that is in the open. And Beis Din, but who will Beis Din Agozel be mitamra from? Who will Beis Din Rabbah be parami hani to chafu gundit? That the people that Beis Din HaGadol should take perun from, should take payment from, are these people that walk around scratching themselves on the walls. What does that mean, scratching themselves on the walls? They act like they are miyasser themselves. They act like they're righteous people and they're miyasser themselves to project this image of righteousness, even though they are not righteous. It means that they're fakers. So I mean, again, someone who is out in the open and is good, that's fine. Someone who hides it and nobody knows about it anyway, then there's nothing to talk about. But here are these people who project a public image that's not truly who they are, and that's negative. And that's what we talk about, makot prushim, in the Mishnah. Those who take makot of being as if they are somebody special, yisurim, and they are not truly that way. Amala Yanei Malkah debitei. Right, so Yanei Malkah said to his wife, he was going to pass away, and Yanei Malkah became very unpopular later in his life because he became a stuki, and he gave the chachamim a hard time and killed many of the chachamim. So his wife was afraid after he died that they would take revenge on her, they would kill her and his son, and to eliminate them because of what Yanei Malkah did. So he says to her, don't worry about the prushim. V'lo mishena mina prushim. Don't worry about the prushim. Even though they might not like me, they are really tzaddikim. And the way they act and they project their righteousness, that's truly who they are. And therefore, they won't take revenge. V'lo mishena prushim. And the rishayim, you don't have to worry about because you know their true motives. When you know their true motives, then you know to watch out for them. Although the people that you should watch out from are minha tzvuim, those that are colored, right? In modern day Hebrew, tzvuim is a hypocrite. Shedomim leprushim. They act or project an image of being prushim. Shema'aseim k'matzei zimri. But their actions are like the actions of zimri. Umakshim l'schar k'pinchas. But they want to be treated and given kavod and schar like Pinchas. Again, this is the idea of projecting an image of righteousness, either so that people give them kavod like Pinchas, but their maisim, their true actions, are like that of Zimri, that they're not real. So he says to his wife, watch out for these people, because they'll look righteous to you, but underneath all that righteousness is the negative person, and those people could really take revenge on you. So again, this negative approach to people who project an image that's not truly them. We want tocham kiboram, we want that their outside image should reflect that which is inside them, and we should not pretend to act in a way that we are not. Right, the next Mishnah continues from the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah talks about that tolas chus, that a woman drinks the mesota has the ability to have her chus be tola. Rabbi Shimon omerin chus tola b'may mamarim. We saw this earlier in the Masech, so we quoted Rabbi Shimon and that Rabbi Shimon says that chus does not work b'may mamarim. Imatar mez chus tola b'may mamarim. Because if you think that chus works middaheh, right, which means machshik b'no, but mechaheh, like today in modern Hebrew mechaheh, that you reduce the potency or the ability of this meisulta to be a deterrent. Ata et amayim yifnei kol anashim ashutot. All the women who come to drink will not be afraid of drinking the water because they have seen other women drink and nothing would have happened to them. And then later on, when they after their schus runs out and they get sick, then as Tosa said earlier, and we talked about this Musar Haskel, they'll think, it has nothing to do with the meisulta, or they won't be around anymore. So they won't take the lekach, they won't take the musar that's associated with seeing a woman who drinks the meisulta, and they won't be afraid to drink the meisulta. And even more problematic is that you will be motzi shemra on the torot shishatu, because they will say, people say, that when they come out innocent, when they come out and the meisulta doesn't affect them, they won't say these women are presumed to be innocent. They'll say, no, they're really guilty, but they have zchuyot that are protecting them. Right? And therefore, you're going to be motzi laz on the meisulta, on the women that are torot, and therefore it's not good idea or not possible that the zchus will be told on the meisulta, because then you will... you will deteriorate or ruin the efficacy of the meisulta. Rabbi Omer, to this opinion of Rabbi earlier on, as chut toleh b'mayim mi'arim, why don't we worry about the problem of Rabbi Shimon? Because when she is guilty, then she doesn't get the benefits of the mi'arim, because eino yoledet, eino shebechet. She doesn't give birth, because it says v'niktav, and he's razera, that if she's really innocent, then she will have children, and she'll have all these positive things happen. So she doesn't get that bracha, she doesn't get better. The Sophie Mesa both the mitah, that she deteriorates from that point forward, she continues to deteriorate. So Rebbe says that it'll be obvious that the Mesota causes deterioration, even though she doesn't die right away, the Mesota will have a deleterious effect on her over a period of time. And therefore nobody will be choshesh the Mesota, and not be choshesh those that are tehorot. Now nitmet minchata. Right, so if her mincha becomes tamei, achlo kedusha b'kli, if you pour it forward, they made it put into the kli sharet before it is kedushas agup and only has kedushas adamim, harihi kechol ha-minachot, then it's like all the other minachot, v'tifteh, and it should be redeemed. Ve'im kedusha b'kli, once it's put into the kli sharet, then it takes time kedushas haguf, then it's harihi kechol ha-minachot, it's like all other minachot, v'tisareif, and it'll be burnt. Now, this is the Gemara recorded on Bava Min Aleph. Ve'elush minchoteim nisrafot. These are women whose minachot are nisrafot. What is that? Omeret tmei ani. Shubaula edim shi tmeya. Either she admits she tmeya, or edim came already and said that she's tmeya. Or, omeret eni shulta, she says, I will not drink. Veshubala eni rotza la shkulta. Or her husband does not want to give her to drink. Ushubala ba'alea baderech. Or her husband had relationship with her along the way. So all these items, the mincha is no longer valid, or she can no longer drink, so the mincha is not valid, and therefore we burn the mincha. Tosfos asks two questions here. One question is, why don't we mention if he dies or she dies? Because in both of these instances, she does not drink, and then the mincha should be considered problematic from being nisrefet. So Tosfos asks, Taman leaves that, why is that? And he also asks a second question, the re-ask. Why is when bala baderech, when her husband has relations with her on the way to being the drinking the meisulta, why is the mincha nisrefet? Why is the mincha nisrefet? We had this case before. The case before was what? If we know prior to the time that she came up to drink that there was something wrong, then we igle milsa the mafreya the kodesh, that the fact that mikash the mincha was the toast. So over here too. He already had relations with her on the way there. That means there was never going to be an instance where she drinks the meisulta because it doesn't work here. And therefore, the mincha was kadush b'taos. It's kadush b'taos. There should be igulin in the mafreya that it was a kachim b'taos. Kachim b'taos. You don't have to burn. It's as if nothing happened there. We take away the kachim. So how come over here we're saying that it's nisrefet? So Tosfos goes ahead and says it differentiates. No, it depends why, when we say igulin milsa the mafreya, when it's not kadush, it depends why it's not kadush. If it's Igla Milsa Mefreya, what's the point of the Mincha? The Mincha is the Barer. It comes to clarify, because it says Maskeret Avon, right, that it's the ability to clarify what her situation is. So an instance where we find out what the true circumstances are, for instance, if she says to Me'ani, or there were Eidim prior to, that was the Gemara before, there were Eidim prior to she come, we say Igla Milsa Mefreya, that we know exactly what transpired. When we know exactly what transpired, that's called Shimbatos. Over here, when she can't drink because her husband had relations with her, it's true she can't drink. But we don't end up, the whole four of them are drinking or bringing the minchas, the barer, to clarify what the situation is. Over here, she doesn't drink, and we don't get clarification. There is no clarification over here. And therefore, the mincha is still there, and it's still kadosh, because it's still the barer avon. We still need the barer avon, because we don't have anything that is the barer the avon. Okay, we'll stop here. The next part of the Mishnah continues with a slightly side topic, and all the limudim in the Gemara tomorrow from there, part of the Mishnah, so we'll stop here.